Praise the Lord this morning.
Praise the Lord.
If you all would turn to the book of John this morning. Just for a moment. John chapter 9, when you have it, say amen. John chapter 9. Y'all got our Bible? What page? Somebody got it yet? Do you have our
788.
Huh? 788. Man says. John chapter 9, amen. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer one more time. Heavenly Father, we come to you once more, Lord. We ask that right now you begin to deal with your children, Father. Open up our eyes that we might see. May your precious Holy Spirit come this morning that we might leave here refresh, Lord, and might leave here with the word that will change our life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
How many of y'all know that Jesus performed many miracles?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that?
Amen.
He opened the blind eyes. He made the lepers clean. He healed limbs that wouldn't, in other words, be healed. But there's another type of miracle that God can perform. And to us, it might not seem like a miracle, but nevertheless, God will do it to save our souls.
Amen.
How many of you can see this morning? How many of y'all have eyes to see?
Amen.
Is anybody here this morning that can't see? How many of you, at the Lord's will, love to go blind? How many of you would just like to lose your eyesight? Anybody going to get any takers, amen? Any takers? No one here wants to go blind? Any kids back there want to go blind? Neither do I. Let us read this morning, John chapter 9 and verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they that which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." There are many things that Christians must do. We must examine ourselves as we are taught to do. We must look at ourselves as God sees us. And there were people that thought they had it all together. There was this group of Pharisees that thought they knew the Word of God, that thought they had the righteousness, that boasted in how great they were, boasted in how wonderful their abilities were, boasted in their righteousness, and Jesus is plainly saying, "You think you've got it right. You think you've got a clear picture of what my will is for your life. But guess what? You need to be made blind so that you can see your true condition, which is weak and pitiful."
Amen.
So these men thought they had it all together. They thought they knew everything. They thought that they were the chiefest of chiefest. If you wanted to be righteous, you had to be like them. Amen. Men and women of God have been destroyed because of pride, arrogance, and self-glory.
Mm-hmm.
It is better not to know a thing than to boast in truth that is held in ungodliness. Hear what I said? It is better not to know a thing than to boast in truth and not hold it in godliness.
All right.
We must pray that the Lord binds us or blinds us from this world and from ourselves. Because the moment that we think we are so wonderful, the moment we think we've got it all together, we leave Jesus out of the picture.
Amen.
You'll begin to live your life.
Amen.
You'll begin to go about your things. You'll begin to go about your activities. And God will not be there because in your mind you think you've got it right. There are people out there right now that when you talk to them, they think they're so good because they don't smoke and they don't do crack cocaine and they think that they pay their bills and have a good house and they don't beat their wives and they think they've got it all together and they can't see their need for God. So we must pray that God blinds them of their image of their self.
Amen.
So they can see their true spiritual condition.
Well,
there are people that see, but they do not see their spiritual condition. They do not see their spiritual man. Because they could see, if the Pharisees could have seen how they really were, they would have seen as Jesus saw, full of dead men's bones. Only the outside was washed. so righteous and so holy and so unblameable, and they boasted in what things they did and what things they did not do. They made it look good as if they had it all together.
Well,
let me tell you this morning, you can fool man most of the time, but you can't fool God anytime. Amen?
Amen.
You can fool man most of the time, but you cannot fool God at any time. There is no point, church, in being a pretend Christian. You must be honest with yourself. You must see yourself as God sees you, either under the blood or standing above it in our filthy rags. This morning, there's a good message going to come. But I want you to understand these things first. The Pharisees were so blind. The church today is so blind that we can't see what's really going on. Because we were so caught up, or we're so caught up in our natural state, and we are in need of the cleansing blood of Jesus. But when we have false pride, how many have played a pretend Christian once or twice in their life? Everything in your life is going horrible. You sin like crazy. But you show up in church on Sunday like there ain't a thing going wrong in your life. And instead of confessing your sin, you stay in darkness and you're backslidden, all because you wouldn't come to light because of pride. God doesn't want a prideful sinner. He wants a humble servant that is willing to admit, I made a mistake, God. I did not live up to what you wanted me to do. I tried my best, but I failed. God will rather heal a sinner that will beat up on his breast and be honest with him than a saint that comes to him full of lies. Don't come to God in untruth. Don't come to God in unrighteousness. Don't come to God with a lie, because he sees what's really going on in your life. And there are some people that are afraid to repent because of what they might think God would think of you. God wants his children not to fear him. God wants his children to love him. And there's nothing that you could have possibly done that will turn God's love away from you. Amen?
Amen.
But pride, because of what other people think. Well, if I go up for prayer Sunday, they might think I'm sinning. If I go down to the altar, they might think I'm running out doing some dope. If I cry in church and show some emotional feeling, they may think that the Word of God convicted me and something's wrong. Oh my goodness, I don't want people to look at me strangely. Yeah. Let me tell you, these Pharisees have some issues. Romans chapter 7, Paul has some issues. That what he would not do, that is what he did. That what he wanted to do, he couldn't find the power to do. Saints, we have to be honest with God. When we admit our weakness, God can make the blind see. When we can see our spiritual condition as beaten down, as wretched, God can say, create unto you a clean heart. I'm going to renew a right spirit within you, because what God loves is a broken and contrite heart. One that's not lying. One that's not trying to be something that it's not. We have to be honest with God.
Amen.
We have to be honest with God. Don't look in the mirror and think you have it all together. Because if the Lord ain't putting it together, it's going to fall apart in just a matter of time. You can fool man most of the time, but you cannot fool God anytime. There's no point, amen?
Amen.
We must be honest with ourselves. The time is near. We need to confess our sins and ask the Lord to forgive us. This morning, turn with me now to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, and this is where we'll be taking our text this morning. Acts chapter 9. Amen. Acts chapter 9.
Acts chapter 9.
When you have it, say amen.
You're on a deaf man.
Acts. Be honest with the preacher this morning. Amen. Acts chapter 9. And the Word of God reads,
that's on page is Paul. Yeah, I know y'all ain't got it. Y'all know what page?
Acts chapter 9.
808. Thank you.
And the Word of God reads, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to synagogues, if he found any in his way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will I have to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told unto thee what thou must do. And the men, when journeying, they stood up speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no men. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And he said unto him, Lord, in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive sight. And Ananias answered the Lord and said, I've heard of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem, and how he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that cast thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name to the Gentiles and kings, to the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and was baptized. Amen. This morning I'll be preaching a message simply entitled, Don't Kick, Submit. Don't kick, submit. Paul was being righteously wrong. He was busy being righteously wrong. He thought he had a call from God to kill Christians. He thought he had a call from God to destroy the church. He thought he had a call from God that was to be God's chaos and to bind men and women and drag them so they could be beaten and be made martyrs for the Lord's sake. He was righteously wrong. He had a picture in his mind of what he thought he was supposed to do, and he pursued it with all force, getting court documents saying, I got the power to arrest you. He was busy being righteously wrong. He had a passion. He thought that killing Christians was right, as if he had heard it from God. And with great zeal, he attempted to root out what he thought was heresy. God had to tell him, don't kick, submit.
Amen.
Don't kick, submit. Who can win a fight against God?
Nobody.
Is there anyone here that can win a fight against God? But when you are rejecting his will, you are fighting a losing battle. God wants you to go down the street called Straight. You're not going to win against God. He will send some pricks your way. How many kickboxers do I have here this morning? Who wants to kick against some pricks? Who would like to kick against some pricks? I need a volunteer. Because when we don't go down the straight way, when we don't go down God's path, we are saying, God, I don't like your way. I'm going to go my way. And when you go your way, you're going to run into some pricks. Who wants to run into some pricks this morning? Who wants to kick against me? He was violently going the wrong direction. He was just going the totally wrong way, which meant the Holy Spirit was trying to tell him, Paul, Saul, you're doing the wrong thing. When you're not doing something that is right, there is conviction. There's something pricking at your heart saying, don't do that. Turn around. Repent. Saul at this time thought he had it right. He thought he had the message. But any time you go contrary to God's ways, you're saying, Jesus, get out of my way. Get out of my way, Jesus. Don't kick. Submit. Imagine living your whole life for the wrong cause. Many of us have wasted our life for the wrong cause. We must thank God that there is Damascus Road experience for everyone. Who can fight against God? God wants to bless you. How do y'all know that?
Amen.
God wants to make you prosperous. God wants to heal you. God wants to establish you, and God wants to raise you up. I know my thoughts I have according to you, is what he told Jeremiah. God has thoughts for you. God has a plan for you. But as long as we hold on to ourselves, we will not be able to embrace the fullness of God's plan. Saul was righteously wrong, but when the Holy Ghost got on him, he was righteously right. When the Holy Ghost got on him, the man that produced no good work in his life became one of the chief apostles.
Amen.
And we learn today from his word that God showed to him. Amen.
Amen.
God took a Pharisee, this righteously wrong person, and changed him around. The first thing God will do is deliver you from dependence upon yourself.
Amen.
The first thing that God will do is deliver you from dependence upon yourself. How did he do this for Paul? He took a seeing man and made him blind. He struck Paul down to the ground. He had to make a man fall so that he could raise him up. He took Paul and he took his sight. And how many of y'all know that when you don't have sight, you're going to need a little help?
Amen.
This world must see their need for a little help.
Amen.
This world must see their need for a guide. It says the people that were along with him took Saul by his hand and led him because he could not see. Woe if we had a church that could stop seeing and just start believing.
Amen.
If we had a church that would just not wonder what's coming next, but just hold to God's unchanging hand. We can kick if we want, but it's going to hurt us in the end.
Amen.
God again took the seeing man and made him blind. And I said earlier that sometimes we think that the miracle is making the blind see. But in this case, the miracle is making the seeing blind.
Amen.
That they might see his true condition.
Amen.
Again, the first thing God will deliver you of is yourself. Imagine for a moment that you were Saul, busy doing what you thought was right for the Lord's work. He thought he was in God's will. And suddenly he strikes you down. You might be upset. God, why'd you do this to me? But the bottom line is, if God didn't send you, don't go.
Amen. Joe Winters.
If God didn't send you, don't go. The devil sends his demons out on lots of missions that aren't going to prevail much because they didn't get permission from God. It ain't going to go nowhere. If God does not send you,
don't go.
Sometimes we get ourselves in predicament because we're going to where God has not sent us.
Amen.
You might find yourself backsliding because you went where God didn't send you.
Amen.
God didn't tell you to go to the nightclub and drink some alcohol and make a mistake. He didn't lead you there. God didn't tell you to turn on radar movie knowing good and well what's going to come on. He didn't lead you there. If God doesn't send you, you're asking yourself for hurt. We are only protected. We only have God's head all around us when we are walking in his will, when we are walking in the light. Paul was not walking in the light. Therefore, darkness came. Physical darkness. He couldn't see. If God does not send you, then don't go.
Amen.
Who are we to tell God what to do? Who are we to tell God where we want to go? Who are we to tell God we have it all figured out? If God didn't send you, then you don't have any business going. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Saul was a man on a mission by himself. Jonah was a man on a mission by himself. And God will put a stop to your plans if you try to put a stop to his.
Amen.
Hear that this morning.
Again, God will
put a stop to your plans if you try to put a stop to his.
Amen.
You see, Saul was going around trying to destroy what God had built up. And let me tell you, as Jesus told Peter, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. So if you think that you're going to go out and undo God's work, God will undo you. If you think you can go out and backbite and blaspheme and murmur and try to tear down what God will build up, you watch and see what what God does to your plans. He might take away your mouth so that you can't speak. Don't think for a second that God's plan will be thwarted by our efforts. Saul was a man on a mission by himself, and Jonah was too. But God will put a stop to your plans if you try to put a stop to his. How many of us are headed down the wrong direction right now? How many of us know good and well God's saying going this way, and we're steadily going this way? How many? How many of us are going down paths that Jesus has not prescribed? Who can win a fight against God? There's no point. That's why we must not kick, but submit.
Somebody listening this morning?
Don't kick, but submit. Let's break it down a little further. Who can win a fight against your mom or your dad? In the end, Jeremiah can scream all he wants. I'm going to have to finally say so. Jeremiah, don't kick, submit. Children, don't kick, submit. God had to bring Saul to a place where he would listen. That place was on Saul's knees. God had been speaking to Paul or Saul the entire time. You think that was the first time that God had gotten a hold of him and said, stop, you're going the wrong way? No. There were probably multiple times that the Lord kept saying, Saul, stop. Stop, Saul, stop. But if we continue in rebellion, God will increase the consequence. If we continue in rebellion, God will increase the consequence. What are you saying, preacher? Remember the first time you were saved and you did something wrong? You felt so bad you repented. Forgive, you felt fine. But then maybe a year passed by, maybe a month passed by, and you just got back the wrong way. All that time that you're away from God is a greater consequence. Because when you're away from God, you have no life. When you're away from his will, you have no life. He goes on and asks to say, Ananias said, but God, this man has done all this to your church. He's killed Christians. He's tied them up. He's taken them from their homes. And the Lord says, he'll get what he's going to get for what he's done. I will show him what great and many things he will suffer for my name's sake. The longer you're away from God, the greater the consequence.
Amen.
How many years have been wasted going down the wrong way of the Damascus Road? God had to bring Saul to a place where he would listen. That place was on Saul's knees. Acts 4, 9 and 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? May the light shine brightly. God had to knock Saul off his high horse of self to his true state, which was fallen. Paul was on a high horse, wasn't he? When I was a little kid, my mom took us horseback riding, and one time at Marvin Valley Farm, my sister Babby was on a horse, and we were all riding, the horse was drawing a little trot, and my sister Babby said, Mom, I'm falling! And no one really believed her. Said, Mom, I'm falling. And she was getting up, and sure enough, fell right off the horse. Right off the horse. And when you fall off a horse, you're going to ask for some help to get back up. God took Paul off his high horse of self and put him to where he'd have to cry out for help. It's not necessary for God to take us down that far if we have the sense enough to listen when he calls. If we have the sense enough to listen to his rebuke and the courage enough to follow his way, then there's no need for him to bring us to a lonely place. He can restore you as you stand, but if you continue to kick, he will do what he needs to do to get you to listen. Wonder why there's so many old people on their deathbed wondering why the Lord won't let them go sometimes. Because it'll bring them to a place of weakness to where they have to say, doesn't have to go to that point if we can listen and obey. Amen. He says, "Why are you fighting against me?" Jesus asks. We know when we're going the wrong way because the pricks of Jesus. In the natural, we will not press ourselves against those. Why would we in the spiritual? If you came to church this morning and these were sitting up on your seat just like this, how many of y'all are going to sit down? If you came to church this morning and these were all sitting in your seat just like this, how many of you would sit down? Any volunteer who would sit down on the priest? Who would sit down? Or would you go in the direction of where the pricks are not? Don't kick. Submit. God will rather wound you than delude you. Hear that this morning. God will rather wound you than delude you. If your eyes be full of evil, it is better to cast out that eye and enter in everlasting life, missing one eye, than have the whole body cast into the lake. Paraphrasing. God would rather wound you than to lose you. Lord, why are you making it hard for me to walk? So that my grace can be sufficient in your weakness? Lord, why are you having all my family and friends turn their backs on me so that I can have a relationship with you? The Lord would rather wound us than to lose us. He caused Saul to be blind, to be dependent. He had to be led by the hand. We too must be. God will humble any person that will allow it. Saul was so blind that when he could finally see, scales fell from his eyes. Deep darkness, just like fish scales, is coming off, but just flaking off his eyes to show how fiercely blind he was. Don't kick. Submit. Don't kick. Submit. Church, it's time to stop kicking, and it's time to start submitting. Because when you find yourself in submission to God, you find yourself at peace with God. Amen. When you find yourself in submission to God, you find yourself covered by God. When you find yourself not warring against God, you find all the angels in heaven are on your side. When you stop going the way of the devil and you start going God's way, there is nothing that can prevent you from accomplishing that which God wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
It's time to stop kicking. It's time to stop kicking against holiness. It's time to stop kicking against discipleship. It's time to stop kicking against love. It's time to stop kicking against the things of God. And it's time to embrace the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's time to kick against the devil.
Amen.
It's time to push back on the devil. You see, God wants us kicking in the right direction. Not kicking towards him, but kicking out this world. The world behind me, the cross before me. God wants you to put your feet to good use. Don't put your hands to war against God. Put your hands to war against the enemy. Put your hands to war against the devil. They are family members. It's time for you to point them in the right direction. It's time for you to prick them in the right direction. They've been going to the club. They've been going to Boo Boo's house and Day Day and Shay Shay. It's time for you to get the Holy Ghost Bible. It's time for you to pick up some pricks of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is the sword. Take that sword and say, "Get out this house, devil, because the Holy Ghost is coming in. I'm pricking for Jesus. I'm pricking for Jesus."
Amen.
And the devil ain't going to be where God's going to be.
Amen.
It's time to kick in the right direction.
Right direction.
Paul got kicked in the right direction. And his name went from Saul, and it was changed to Paul. There was a total turnaround. He was once doing wrong, but when he started kicking in the right direction, he found that God was pushing him. Keep going. Keep going. You said the story of footprints. He said, "Lord, why do I only see one set of footprints here?" And God said, "That's what I carried you." God will carry you when you're in your hardest time of life. But you've got to kick in the right direction.
All right.
Thank you.